WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
NAWRO, good morning, Dean.
Good morning. Finally, we got that job done, and that was getting into the machine. I'm running on full power on mobile, and I'm currently on over 5%.
Yeah, I was going to mention it's not too good. I got about maybe 50% of that, but see what you can do. Maybe bump up the power. I'll be monitoring. I'll be listening here. Go ahead.
Copy that. Appreciate it. How is that any better? I just bumped up one level.
Perfect. Got you in. You're real good. Good copy.
Copy that. Appreciate it. They're still learning where I can reach and where I can't. Now that 7.2 is not a primary, but an often used system, but when it comes to computer systems and Nissan, don't ever buy a Nissan. Oh my lord!
Having some trouble, eh? That's interesting. John was talking about if you do make the net tonight. I think you mentioned from maybe the Troy area. So yeah, if you could hit the Warren receiver, that's fine. But, of course, you still have to receive from Mont Clemens, which should be okay. But it'll be interesting to see if that's still the plan for today.
So I talked to the wife, and the wife said that it ends at 7, but she wouldn't be opposed to leaving a little early. I can make the net, so I may or may not be mobile during the net, but I probably won't check in as mobile short time. I'll probably check in as normal.
NAWRO, copy that. Well, as a fully trained net control operator now, you know all the options. I always keep on telling my buddy in Utica, go ahead and just check in and out if you don't want to answer the question, because that's how you avoid the question. But, yep, that'll work. I'll have to get with John later this morning and see what netlog he wants me to use. Happy to test that. I just got to be careful because this one machine, the new machine I have has, I'm sure I told you, has its own copy of Microsoft Office, not 365, and they caution not to load 365 because it will apparently somehow boot out, the resident file for that. So, but I can always use a laptop. I'll just load 365 on the laptop if we need to do that.
Copy that. If I'm understanding the system correctly, you should be able to just take his add-in file or add-on file and your version of itself should work as long as you have the sheet and the add-in. You should be good to go. I don't think you actually have to have 365 and be logged into the system. I could be wrong, but I think you should be able to use your own copy and version of it.
Yeah, that's correct. That's my thinking from our QSO last night. I'm looking at it right now. I have Office 2021 Professional Plus Lifetime License. So, yeah, you know, it has everything. And I'm going to get with John today, and I'd like to test that out. Might as well do it now and make sure. And then because he likes doing his own form for the net tonight, I'm on the slow program, not the fast program that you took for for training. So I just want to mimic him separately so I don't interrupt him, you know, while simultaneously being back up and listening for other calls and relays or whatever. But and then at the end of the net, you know, see how I did, kind of like if I'm going to pass the test or not. And then I'll go on from there.
What do you mean by fast and slow program? Are you referring to the logs themselves, or are you referring to being thrown to the wolves, more or less?
Well, historically, I always write down call signs on paper, so I got to break myself from that. I got to go ahead and trust the log. And you made the jump on that pretty quick, or maybe that's what you started doing. So it's hard for me to stop scribbling on paper when call signs are coming in. And you can do one or the other. It's really hard to do both, I found, in real time. So what I'd like to do is just go ahead and try filling. I don't care which log it is, but just fill out a log while it's coming in real time. I mean, I could be doing this on anyone's net, so I could continue to practice on that however long I need to, but then, you know, once I get that, then I think I'll feel a little bit more confident. I just got to get away from the paper.
Copy. Yeah, it wasn't too bad when I did it. When I did the backup for Mike, I believe. Yeah, I did backup for Mike, and then I did my own net. I forget who backed me up though. When I did my net, but Dave might have backed me up, I think. But either way, it wasn't too bad. But if you're gonna practice on a net, don't do the morning brew because Vicky, I don't know how she does it. I hear some of those double ups, and she catches them all, and I have no idea how.
It's not my area. It's going to be John's, of course, but I still have reservations about, you know, maybe trying it the other way where we call it the repeater first. I don't know. It's not my area, but and certainly no fault of yours, but I go back and listen to the tapes the day after Friday morning, and we had, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. We had the pileups, right? And when you have triples and then you have somebody trying to get in three times, no fault of anybody's, it's just the nature of the beast. After the third time, he's probably thinking, well, I'm not making it, so I'll give up. Because I've done the same thing when I've got over to Oakland County's net. Lately, I have not been able to get in. And, you know, you try a couple of times, and it's as if they don't even hear you. So it's like, well, in that case, I'm probably not making it because they do use the procedure where you key up and make sure you have the repeater. I kind of thought I had it, and it just didn't work. So, you know, there's some options there. Of course, it's up to John to figure out how he wants to proceed on that. But, yeah, I like trying to get as many people to join as we can. And I do have the one guy's call sign. I have it posted on my screen when I get a hold of him and say, hey, listen, you made it into that last net. You just, you know, you just had competition.
Yeah, well, when I was trying to do it, I was trying to, if I caught a double up and we didn't catch it, you know, I was trying to, you know, we recognize these stations if you know, if we didn't call you and recognize you, please try again. And I tried that a couple of times just because, like you said, it's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, that's correct. You did it perfect, actually. That's going to be something I forgot. Or I might do it once but forget to do it again to give them another option. But you gave them plenty of options. It's we were just, it was kind of a little bit of a busy net. And we just had some check-ins. And we had multiple check-ins when we opened it up for, is there anyone else that would like to check in? And wham, you get hit.
Oh, absolutely. I've been kind of looking back at the logs, and we averaged somewhere between 19 and 24 check-ins on each net. So that's a basic average. So if that's any consolation to what it could be, it'd be very cool to see more, but that's been about the going average.
Sounds good. More the better. And switching topics on regards to the bylaws, if you guys have any questions, that's Mike's area, but if you have any questions on what the executive board went through line by line, I'm happy to jump on Discord at any time between now and Monday. And, you know, if you have any questions about what we have proposed to date. You know, again, the whole thing is Mike's, but I'm happy to kind of parse out why we decided what we decided. And then, of course, it is a live document. Just because we adopt it for the first time, we can change it and modify it, and we expect to do that. So just wanted to throw that out to you. As a future member of the board,
Oh, fair enough. I haven't been able. I know that we have a voting voice. I'm gonna review everything between now and Monday. And if I have any questions or any suggestions, I'll definitely voice them. With this vehicle, I've been struggling with for the last 4 days. I haven't really had a chance. And I've been seeing all the back and forth about it, kind of chuckling on the side.
Yeah, certainly not required because that's what the meeting is for on Monday. But if you do have time and you're interested, I know it's nice to be heard about things, and both the DEC and the EC were very kind to hear my concerns about it, and when we got done with our session, we're happy. But that's what this session's for on Monday. But, you know, if time permits, and if you're interested, for John, you, and Tom, and if I forgot anybody, but, you know, they're, you know, I'd be happy to jump on Discord, and because we did go line by line by line. And, you know, again, if you've got some, of course, we do want you to bring up any ideas you have, whether it be, you know, before or after the, or at the meeting on Monday. NAWRO, back over to you, Dean.
Yeah, of course. I'll review it. Our first handout of it at one of our meetings, I kind of did a glance overview on that, and there was quite a few things that didn't necessarily make sense and were missed, and from the comments and conversations, it looks like a chunk of those, like membership requirements and what can get you kicked off the team and things like that, seem like they've been touched on now. So most of my concerns, I think, have been covered. But like I said, I'll review that document that Mike sent over between now and Sunday. LAX.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Dean. Wally's giving me a call on the TX, so I'm going to drop out right now. I'll have the radios on. We'll talk later, I'm sure. NAWRO, after you, sir.
Sounds good. 7-3. We'll catch you on the air later. KELAX, clear and monitoring.
ADOT testing, no response is required.
ADOD, ADOD from NAWRO Richmond. John, you still out there?
I am, Tim, working from home today. How can I be of assistance?
Well, I heard your call before, but I was on TX with Wally, and we were jibber-jabbering, so I couldn't respond too quick. But, yeah, just good signal. Don't know what you're looking for, but nothing particular. Just didn't want to leave you hanging there.
Yeah, I, what was I trying to do? I think a lot of times we are hesitant as people to give people feedback as to their signal. Like if they're maybe, if they're really bad, we probably do give them. But if it's at a level that we can work with, we don't really give that feedback. So I was trying to back monitor myself with the with my VoIP phone on the All-Star node to see if I was like a full client, which it sounded like I was. So I was like, oh, well, 25 watts is enough to get out to, which looking at the motor, it seems like I'm going into, I'm bouncing with Mount Clemens and Warren, so maybe the Mount Clemens one is still a little bit hot.
Yeah, I always qualify. I agree with you on that. We're pretty forgiving when it comes to analog, but the, you know, like I just say, it's the typical VHF, a very good signal for VHF analog. How about that? You know, and a lot of us just want to know, hey, we're going to make the net tonight. Will this signal do for the net? So the answer to that is emphatically yes.
So in that case, this is dropped down to 10 watts. Is this noticeably different?
Negative, no difference, that's good. Now, I'm going to let you know that I got, I'm on Wally's Motorola that I normally use for P25, but I've got my home antenna switched to it, and he also threw in, you know, 7.2, and I went over here. This thing just seems to handle, oddly enough, 7.2 real good. I guess it's a Motorola, so now if I, let me switch over to my Yaesu, which is what I normally use. But this is going to be more of a me thing than a you thing. The answer to your question is, yeah, no difference. It's a good signal. I'll let you talk, but I'm going to quickly switch over to the Yaesu. Over to you, John.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. What's weird is I am hearing myself when I unkey. So it's almost like there's a little bit of disconnect with the voter or something, because it shouldn't really happen, should it? I don't know that I've ever heard that on any other repeater.
Well, neither have I, so I don't know what to say about that, but I am on the Yaesu now, so hopefully you're hearing me, you know, close to the same-ish, but your signal is strong for my receiving on the Yaesu. I was having a little trouble for some reason. I do have that ASP filter on, so, you know, it's kind of artificially clear. But you're still sounding good. And I guess John and I have the net. Well, I should say John has the net tonight, and I'm going to attempt to do backup again. I'm a little bit of a remedial in that regard. I got to really step it up here on that. Over to you.
Is that sheet, the net control sheet, out in the wild that you can follow along like a bingo card?
I don't know if we have. I think it's. I think John sends it to us. In fact, I'm gonna. He's got a multiple versions out there, and I've kind of lost track on where we're at with that. So he's gonna send me the version he wants me to use. So tonight, all I'm gonna do is I'll be back up officially. But John likes to record his own call signs, anyways. So he'll be live on the one that you're talking about that you could watch live just to see it populate. And then I'm gonna have a local resident version that I'm going to mimic doing that as well. And then at the end of the net, I'll score myself to see if I missed any call signs. I just got to transition from writing them down on paper. I always wrote them down on paper, and you can't do both. You got to do one or the other, and I got to break my habit of that. And so John's helping me out with that. But he'll get you. I'm going to talk to him today, so we'll make sure we'll send you a link.
Ever listened to the Morning Brew that they, you know, and I'll start that, but they put it on the GM repeater in the morning. They have a log that you can look at, and one of the things I find is kind of helpful, like the lady down in, she's towards the Toledo border or whatever, but, or the Ohio border, but she's in Michigan, she's a DKY. She's a fantastic net control person, pulls people out, but there is a section she has built in the sheet that it, like, contains, and it does, like, a rough search. So if you only pull out, say, like, one or two letters, you can do it, and it'll search through your database of previous call signs and kind of be like, maybe it's this guy. So then, like, next time it comes around, you can be like this example I'm looking at, it's like K8C on her current sheet, and, like, it's like, it could be K8CFG, or it could be this other guy. So then you can, like, kind of limit your results.
Copy that. That sounds interesting. I'm sure it's something that John would like that down the road to emulate. And then the other thing, we recognize voices. I still say we should have the option of throwing in either the call sign or, like in your case, just 21. It's 21, and it'll populate from that because for our members, we got a little bit of a shortcut there we could do for that. And you're the second person this morning that mentioned that net controller, she knows what she's doing. I was talking to Dean earlier, and he says that sometimes she has pileups and that she can pull call signs out of that. But maybe what you're talking about helps her do that.
LAX comment.
Go ahead, LAX. Do you know?
In reference to whether or not we have a log that can be watched, there's nothing readily available. It would have to be, we'd have to get approval from one of the upper end guys to send over a read-only version. As of right now, it's only a co-authored document, so no, the answer to that is there's not something that can be reviewed like the Morning Brew.
Yeah, I know. I guess that wasn't really my question. It was more specifically for me, but not like a true public document, but sure.
Yeah, I'm sure, John, it would let you, monitor in real time. Just put your cursor aside and don't touch. Other than that, he'd let you do that. But, I'll talk to him about it, and we'll get you something out. But, that sounds interesting, Dean, what John was just talking about here, that, you know, if it's like you're because you've been doing it, if you're like a couple of characters off, I heard somebody, but it's just a few characters off, it'd be nice if the net log could help you out. Over to Dean.
Oh, I agree, and I'm sure with as good as John is with setting up the sheets and stuff, he probably could put something together. I don't know if that's necessarily in the plan as of now, but yeah, that would definitely be helpful. Because there was a couple times in our log that I get like the last one wrong, but I also had some technical difficulties where the log was messing up on me right up until the end when we got it fixed. But yeah, that would definitely be really cool to get a throwback on the couple possibilities it could be based off of previous. That would be definitely cool.
Cool, cool. Yeah, I'm going to get back to work here, but thanks for coming back, Tim. And I guess I'll hear from you guys later on the net tonight. ADOD.
Copy that, John. Got your Discord post as well. Taking a look at it. Appreciate it. Talk to you tonight. Dean, have a good one. I'll clear as well, but I will be listening. NAWRO.
Seven threes, John. 7-3, Tim. We'll catch you on the air later tonight. This is KELA. It's clear.
This is KD8QJI, over.
KAUGI, this is NAWRO, Richmond. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I've been listening to you guys. You're good over here in Newberry, a little bit of hissing in the background, but otherwise, readable. Just I'd let you know. Over.
Yeah, I greatly appreciate that. Yeah, VHF can be fickle at some time, so you never really know. So, and we do have our net tonight later on in Macomb County. So appreciate the report. You all have a good one. NAWRO, Richmond, I'll be clear after you.
KD8QJI, clear, 73.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Can't beat it well. Monitoring.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
W8FNA, radio check.
Mobile, you sound great here.
Awesome, thank you.
Any good?
WCD. This is Key. Why any?
W8CMN, repeater.
K8YNU, this is NHWCB. Well, good evening, K. It's a long weekend again, sorry to say. This time it's the working end of it. So how did day 4-1 go?
Oh, it didn't go too bad at all. I was on phones today, and I'm actually on nights tomorrow night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, and I'll probably be back up, so it's going to be a good weekend.
Ah, okay, sounds like I have to change the scorecard here. So it's not just Saturday and Sunday, it's also tomorrow too, I take it.
Yeah, I got some incentives waved in my face, and I was like, you know what, I'll take that time and a half and take that second time and a half as well, so.
W.
Oh, okay, that sounds good. We'll be looking for you a little earlier tomorrow night, but hey, at least, like you say, you get to do some backup. At least you're getting a break from doing 911s. I know there for a spell you were doing quite a bit of radio, so at least you get kind of the payback part of it, I suppose, and some incentives there with the overtime.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of nice. It's paying off the seniority is, and they're looking at doing a shift bid. So we'll see what happens.
Ah, okay. Okay. I know you and Leo had talked about potentially going tonight. Again, I guess it's one of those things. You know, is it contractually there if, you know, you're on a certain amount of time, whether you do it biannually or quarterly or yearly or whatever, at least you have an idea. So, you know, if you needed to switch back, you could.
W8CM.
Yeah, that's where it gets a little sketchy because, it's not in our contract to do a bid. So it's one of those things I can get stuck on nights for a while. So not sure if I'll do nights, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, of course, with the incentives you have for the weekend here, and I guess I misspoke, not overtime, but shift premium, but you know, at least it would give you the option, you know, again, I don't know if they offer it to you first as a seniority or how much you've worked it, but anyway, at least it gives you the option to take that break and say, yeah, I'll take that, you know, that chunk of time or a week or whatever, where at least you can go back to a day shift and know where you're going to be.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they have to, contractually, they have to offer it to me first, because of seniority. Then if I pick something up like that first, then it goes to the second person after that if I don't take it, or if I already have enough overtime, then it's got to go to the next person. But, yeah, it works out nice. I like days because, it's like you said, you know, I can bump over to nights if need be for, you know, a couple nights and then go back on days and know that I'm on days. And, I don't know. It's not horrible. Not horrible on days. It just could get rid of some nonsense. That would be good.
W.
Yeah, that's probably where the weekends are are good because you don't have a lot of the brass there and the upper management, that kind of thing. Of course, again, just the phones on days are always terrible. You know, you get a lot of, I'm sure you probably get a lot of transports and a lot of questions and so on and so forth. So those, that's probably a good break as well. But like I say, it gives you that flexibility where you can say, you know, yeah, I'll take nights or, you know, no, not this time. So, yeah, it's just, I'm sure you'll, you know, you guys will discuss it and it'll work out in the end. But at least you've got the top pick.
Gee, Wayne, yeah, that is the nice thing about seniority. I'm number two on the list, and so on days it's kind of nice because it's like, well, I get offered vacation first. I get offered if I want a holiday off, I can take the holiday because I'm first in seniority on days, and so it's like I can kind of do whatever I want. Whereas if I go to nights, I'll be second in seniority, and not horrible, but you know, it's just one of those things.
W.
And it comes to CB. Yeah, that's a consideration right there too. You know, you're top on your day shift, and that, like I say, if you're second, you know, you're behind somebody else if they want the day, or you know, they've got the seniority for it. So, yeah, that's worth thinking about there. And like you say, you've got the flexibility to accept or decline a night shift, or you know, take a day off, or whatever. Plus, at least for me, it was always easier to work an overtime from a day shift or an afternoon shift into the next shift than working a midnight into a day. That was rough.
Yeah, for sure. I can't do a reverse 24. I can't do the 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. type stuff. I'd rather do the 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. because at least I can, by the time I'm tired, things are kind of slowing down, and it's not one of those things where you know, you're slammed and you got to keep up.
W8.
Yes, exactly. That's like you say, it kind of winds down there on mids, and you know, starting to pick back up as you're getting into the, you know, 7, 8 o'clock. But if you're, you know, go home at 6, it's not too bad. But yeah, you know, I'd come home and you know, crash at home and go right to bed from a midnight shift. I never stayed up long afterwards. Got my sleep and got it out of the way. So. And again, that's another side of it too.
Yeah, they're more apt to give like double time or time and a half on a normal shift at night versus during the day. During the day, it's easier to get that stuff covered. Whereas at night, they're more like, yeah, we'll give you double time if you pick it up, or we'll give you time and a half if you pick it up. So that's the other nice thing about working days.
W8CMN.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you say, you know, if there was ever a vacancy, they'd always leave the vacancy on day shift. You know, it's easier to fill an overtime for a day shift slot than for, you know, an afternoon or mid slot there. Like you say, it gives a little bit more incentive. And like you said, you've got the, you know, double time, or you get the shift premium where, you know, if you're days, then that incentive wouldn't be there.
Yeah, for sure. It's easy to do to get a supervisor or get a, you know, but Billy will, he'll sit the desk if he needs to dispatch. He'd rather dispatch on a day shift than have to come in at night, so.
Yeah, there you go, right there. Like you say, you always have a supervisor or somebody that knows how to run the radio dispatch cat. Easier for somebody like that, they can fill it. Supervisor had a drather's 4 days versus bids there. So yeah, I'm sure. Like I say, I'm sure you and Leo will come to a conclusion on it. How that's going to work out. But I'm sure you probably use the same format if you stay on a day shift.
W8CMN.
Yeah, they kick around. They're actually kicking around a couple of ideas. One of them is to stay on the same type of rotation, and then the other one is to do four on and then three off or something like that. So they're kicking some ideas around.
NAWCD. Well, yeah, I've heard that. Potentially, I guess you could do that. I don't know how it would work for weekends and that, but I guess if you put it down on paper and thought, it could be a doable plan there. But hopefully they'll get you guys' input on that as well.
W8CMN.
Yeah, for sure. There's Jason trying to get in. Anyway. Didn't think so. We'll see how it goes. I know they said that if we do the 4-on, 3-off type deal, that it'll have to be a one weekend day. So I get stuck working at least every Saturday or one Saturday in the month. And that's another good thing about working, having the seniority is I can pick what weekend I want or what weekend day. So.
Yeah, I just don't want to mess up, too, with your Wednesday nights because. You guys have been, doing your family nights at church as well, and hopefully that wouldn't mess you guys up either.
No, if it were to come down to like the 4-on-3-off type deal, I'd probably do like a Monday. Or like Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, and then and just do like a Friday, Saturday type deal.
That wouldn't be bad. I mean, at least you're not doing the four in a row. Man, alive! That's like I say. When I did Shelby in the 12s, I was by the Sunday. It's like, man, I was ready to run. That was rough there. So I don't know. I beat 2 of 12 there in 4 days, but that would be good if you'd be able to break the week up like that.
W8CMN repeater in Guilford.
We'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm not sure which way. I like this way because it gives me a long week and it gives me a short week that I can have a couple days. If I need to take a PTO day on a Thursday, then I've got a really long weekend and I'm only burning one PTO night. But if it's something else, then it's like I got to burn more PTO. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
NAWCB, yeah, that's another consideration there, too. Like you say, that Thursday is golden to you there, especially on them short weeks. Just like you say, you take that day off and you've got a, you got a few extra days, a short trip, or just enjoy being home with family. That works out nicely.
Yeah, it does. It does. A lot of pros that they come this way. The other option, the third option they threw out, and it got shot down pretty quick, was work 7 in a row and then you're off 7 in a row, and we were like, no.
I would agree with that. Oh my gosh, 7 in a row again. My goodness. When I first was at Shelby, we had shifts like that where you're, especially on a, I think it was you're on an eight shift rotation, like you're working 7 in a row and you're off a couple, and then you're working 8 in a row, again, just trying to deal with some eight shifts, and I can't imagine that again working 12. So I worked that on overtime once, and it's like, no, I'm not doing that again.
Oh, no. No, I already spend enough time there as it is, and I'd rather not spend any more time than I have to.
Yeah, wow. that definitely wouldn't be a workable, not a good workable thing there, our plan. Hopefully, like you say, hopefully you'll get it figured out and see what they want to do, and see what the group wants to do, and then I guess you can pick accordingly then, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, Dad, I am home, so I'm gonna head in here and see how everybody's doing. Kick the night off, but appreciate the good conversation on the way north, and hopefully you guys have a good night. Stay warm. It's 14 degrees, and if you guys need anything, definitely don't hesitate to let us know, but looking forward to chatting tomorrow, and you guys get some rest.
Yeah, it's going to be a cold one tonight from what I hear. Hope you guys stay warm as well. And as you said, if you need anything, let us know. But, looking forward to tomorrow night talking again. And thanks a lot for the ride-along tonight. Enjoyed the conversation there about shifts at work. It kind of brings back a lot of memories there. But anyway, we'll let you head on in and get warm and get something warm to eat, and enjoy the family a little bit. I think the net, we've got the net coming up here a little bit at 7 o'clock, so looking forward to that too. But tell everyone hello. Stay warm tonight. 73, and maybe you and the family, we'll talk again soon. NAWCD is clear on your mind.
Sounds good, Dad. Sounds good. You guys enjoy your evening. 73s and 882 and Mom, K8Y and Yuka.
WAAMAC Mount Clemens will be temporarily disconnecting from the hub for training. Be back on the hub in about 2 hours or so. NAWRO.
Word is coming, hopefully I'll be home soon enough. ACKGO.
OOE, this is KF8AYL. while.
Oh, yeah. I'm on here. I mean, I monitor it quite a bit.
Yeah, I spent most of the summer up in the UP building a barn at my retirement place. But I'm back now. Well, we'll see how long.
Yeah. I think I talked to you on Simplex on 2, coming across here one time, and then down here a couple times. Been a while, though.
Yeah, it has been a little bit. Yeah, just enjoying this nice cold evening. I just loaded up the wood stove and trying to keep warm. Supposed to be in the single digits tonight.
I don't care for that much. I'm gonna have to take a ride down to my place and turn the heater up a little bit. It's on. I'm sure it's blasting away.
Yeah, I gotta need to fix my tractor up here so I can bring some more wood up to the porch. I'm running low on wood on the porch where the porch feeds my wood stove. Where I get it every day from, but I need to bring up the main bulk of it from out back with my tractor, and the tractor's been acting up. I need to replace a few things on it, but I'll get it fixed up.
Whereabouts are you? I'm just now heading south out of Vassar, heading to the honeybee meeting down in Millington.
I'm in Birch Run, or actually kind of between Burt and Birch Run, kind of 5 miles west of Birch Run there.
My kid works 2 jobs in Birch Run. She works at one of the shoe stores in the mall and then at General RV there, east of town. And yeah, I'm heading down to just south of town in Millington. There's 2 churches down there. One's right on the main drag, and then another one, the next one east is where I'm going. But, I don't know. We'll see how good my bees are to do in long about April. That'll tell the tale.
Yeah, we got bees here. I put them in the barn and covered them up. They're done killing their males for the year. They've all been dumped off the front end of the porch, and so I moved them in a week or so ago. And yeah, we'll see how they do. I've never done too well with them. I have to get new queens usually in the spring.
I'll be breeding queens. That's going to be the line of work that I'm set to retire to, I think. I don't know, we'll see. Maybe I'll get a wild hare and jump in one of them trucks and head out west, taking them through the pollination course. I don't know.
Yeah, we had really bad luck the first several years we did bees, and I had a spell where I was able to put them in the barn and cover them up, and they did all right. And then that worked out for like 2 or 3 years. And then the last 2 or 3 years, that hasn't worked. I don't know. I can't predict it.
Cover them up. Keep the light off them. Keep them in there and keep them cold. You do a lot better than leaving out in breeze. I insulate them, and the mite load is usually what kills them. And now they legalize 4 grams per brood chamber of oxalic acid. So we'll see how that does. I guess that just, they were only allowing 1 gram, but now they're allowing 4 per brood chamber. So we'll see how that does. I guess that kills them dead. You run them through a couple of mite or open brood cycles, and it just smokes them.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because the mics have been a problem for a couple of the times, I'm pretty sure. I think the cold just got them a few times. I didn't cover them up enough, or I don't know. I'm no BX Brew. We only have like three hives, so I try to keep them going, but yeah, it's tough.
X was like 56, and then the tornado hit and took over half of them. I was pretty distraught over that. And flattened a house in town and knocked a bunch of trees over. That was pretty upsetting, but I don't know, we'll see. I'll see how I do this year. I started summer with none, and then I was also working with the husband of my cousin, and he started with one, and I've done a bunch of splits for him and done my own, and I was going to partner up with him, but I heard a lot more Mimi and I and Honey Crop before we had the first box of them split than I did actually getting help on mine. There was no return on no reciprocation. So you feel good he does on his own. He did that once already. And he said he didn't want to be the competition, but he's mimicking everything I do. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah, I'm in no competition with anybody, that's for sure. I just try to keep the little ones we have here alive and enough to keep us and my family populated with some honey. And it's fun. It's a hobby. That's all it is for me.
It's more than a hobby for me. I mean, it is a hobby, but, you know, the whole Save the Bees thing, I'm trying for that, but... You know, when you make a lot of bees, they have one major byproduct besides more bees, and that's going to be the honey. The honey is kind of a glut when you start making a lot of bees, but it's interesting, that's for sure. Little alien ant farms, you know, that's what it is. 2D800E.
KF80WOW. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, about 3 years ago, it was a really good year, and I thought it was going great. I kept adding stacker honey boxes, you know, little ones on the top, and then they swarmed. It was like, oh, there's too many in there. They like, those bastards up and left. Like, what the heck, man?
Have the excluder above a 10 framer, or did you go too deep?
I don't remember. I just kept adding the short boxes on the top. I am not really sure how many I had on there. It was way more than I had in previous years and since. But usually I got two or three. I think I had five or six on it, and there was a lot of bees in there, and yeah, they up and left.
Ellipse gone because they get too hot. The ellipse gone because the mite load's too high. But if you got an excluder one deep and the colony starts getting that big, what a guy really should do if he wants to maintain that flow is take some of the brood out of the brood chamber, because if you stay down below 60% on what they've got packed in the bottom, you know, you can put some of that up top in the supers, but you really have to keep an eye on if they're making queens, because you don't want a virgin queen being able to get down. They can make it through an excluder, so you want to, after about 4 or 5 days, you want to pull them and look at them in the top, but you let them hatch, and you open up her path to have over half of that bottom queen right portion. Well, I'll tell you what, look up Damari. I don't know if you're familiar yet, but look up Damari manipulation, and it'll explain several different ways of doing what I'm telling you. And then you can also do, well, I won't confuse you. Look up MRE manipulation.
All right, well, I'll have to look that up. That's a new term that I don't think I've heard. I have not. I know what an excluder is. We did not have that. I just kept adding boxes on the top. I think I probably should have rotated those. I think maybe, like you said, and put the fuller ones on the top or something. Yeah, they were not, they obviously weren't happy, so they left.
Got to make sure you don't split them where there's a excluder with brood in two different locations, because they'll make another queen, and I can't even tell you all the horror stories, but it's been an interesting trip for sure.
Yeah, bees are interesting. They'll kill their queen if they don't like them, or they'll make more if they think they need more. And then, yeah, then there's, yeah, you don't want that. Yeah, they're interesting. It's fun.
And when you think you've got them figured out, they let you know who's the boss. They speak loudly, usually, when they do it. They don't just take 50%. They take about 50% of the old bees with them, and they leave the nurse bees behind to make a bunch of cells and make a bunch of queens. And they take more than 50% of the honey, that's for sure. I've seen them take probably closer to 70% of the honey with them, with that 50% of those bees. And they have a vote. Tom Seeley done some pretty good videos on it. They actually vote on their next location. And it's a little beyond interesting. It's kind of hard to deny a creator after you've been in those bugs a little bit, because I don't know, it's hard for me to explain, but I'm here at the bee meeting. I'm going to pull in. Looks like we've got a limited crowd tonight. But as far as I'm concerned, it's good, because it's more cookies and coffee.
They vote, really. I'd like, yeah, I don't think I've heard of that one. I'd have to look that up. They actually vote somehow, huh?
And they speak like the queen's pipe. They'll headbutt one of the ones dancing outside after they've sent out scouts and don't agree with the swarm location. They'll have like five different locations. And while that one's dancing around, there'll be a couple other ones doing a little bit different jig, and they'll headbutt the ones they don't like after they go out and check it out. And they have they vote on where they're going next. Yes, they actually vote. Tom Seeley is the guy you want to look up. And he wrote a book called Honeybee Democracy. Listen, I'm heading in. 7-3, this is KB-800E.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. Well, enjoy your meeting. KF-80-WOW.
And again, MRE manipulation, MRE. Some people call it the MRE split. I call it MRE manipulation because you can utilize it for other things. MRE. And then Tom Seeley. Tom Seeley, Honeybee Democracy, Kitty at Ollie.
Got it. Appreciate it. Can't pay it well.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
K-E-8-L-A-X-K-E-8-Z-N-I.
KAZRI. This is KELAX. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Dean, did you say that you had a DM32? I think you said you borrowed one from Tim. Is that true?
That is correct. I borrowed a DM32 from Tim, and then I ended up ordering one. It hasn't come out of the box yet because it's just as a backup. But yes, that is correct. Do you have a question?
Yeah. How did you like it?
Well, from my experience, I borrowed one from Tim. And although there was some little technical difficulties, they were rectified when Tim got it back and reinstalled the code plug. There was some messing around when he loaned it to me. He added some extra DMR IDs, and I think that might have messed with it. But other than that, I got great audio reports. A lot of people told me they couldn't tell the difference between the guy that was talking with a Motorola and me talking. I really liked it. I got great reception everywhere. I was able to hit the repeater in a lot of spots, even spots that my current radio struggles in just a little bit. I really, truly enjoyed the radio for its price point. It's definitely worth the money to get that radio.
Well, me and Cujo were talking on the radio with, I think it was WEAP, I'm not sure of his call sign, but we were talking about the DM32, and he got me interested in it, and I actually bought one. I'm heading home right now. I'm in my mobile, and I'm heading home right now to open the box, and I've heard nothing but good news, nothing but good reports about that radio. So I'm really looking forward to it, about sitting down and writing another code plug.
Copy that. Congratulations. My only one suggestion is that it comes with two antennas, and I find that the Motorola knockoff antenna, the short one, actually performs better than the long or the 7771 antenna it comes with. I find that the knockoff Motorola antenna actually performs better than the long antenna, just as a little FYI. But, I do like that radio. One of the things that Tim did is he put a little rubber band to hold it into its little plastic in there. And I like that idea because that idea seems to move around a little bit in that plastic hole. It was a good, solid radio. You really can't go wrong. And actually, Tom, Casey, break for time. Actually used it at the end of our trip in Mount Clemens, and I liked it too.
I didn't copy all. I think there's somebody trying to break in there. Go ahead, break in.
Yeah, guys, I'm looking at the dashboard. It seems to be coming from Lapeer, but I don't hear any audio. We'll give him a little try, but then just go ahead, Brian.
Okay, thanks, Tim. Could you say that again, Dean? What were you saying about a rubber band? I lost you after you said rubber band.
Actually, Tim, could you just kind of fill him in what you did with the rubber band around the antenna? I tried it both with and without, and I actually preferred it with. But if you wouldn't mind filling him in on what you did with that radio.
Yeah, no problem. NAWRO. So, Brian, it's hopefully the one you got has the cradle for it, because they originally were released without any belt clip to them at all, so it was kind of difficult, but this like a little belt clip that slides on. The only problem with it is always slides off when you try to draw it from your waist. The design was supposed to be like a holster, but that doesn't work because it. So what we did is we came up with a rubber band that fits around the antenna, and then it goes underneath the belt clip on the far side of the cradle, and it keeps it one with the radio. Now, another one of our guys, Cliff has the same thing. He put a little wedge in there just to keep it on. You'll see when you open the package up, it slides in like a holster, but it also slides out too darn easy, so you got to figure something out. I'll bring mine to the Christmas meeting, and you can take a look at it if that works. N-A-W-R-O. Back over to you, Brian.
Yeah, that'd be great. This one has a holster, but I haven't even opened the box yet. I'm still driving home. So, yeah, we'll take a look at it tonight and see what's up. Thanks, Tim. This is K-E-Z-R-I. We'll be clear after your final.
Sounds like a plan. I'll be clear as well. N-A-W-R-O. Go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, 7-3, Brian. Congrats on the new radio. I don't have a whole lot of experience with programming the code plug, but I did get a look into the software, and it is pretty common to most of your Chinese-style CPSs. So, yeah, if you need any help, I'm sure I or Tim or somebody could lead you in the right direction. But it's pretty straightforward. If you've done a couple, you've done that one. So, but congrats on the new radios and 7-3 Tim and Brian, and I will be monitoring. This is KE8LAX clear.
Yeah, roger that. I'll say one thing about, I was already playing with the software before I got the radio, and I tried to import all my channels, you know, from, for the MI5 and CMN in there, and everything copied over except the frequencies. The frequencies come over as 00.00000. And I've been it's driving me crazy trying to figure out how to get it to work. I don't want to have to type all those in again. So I'm going to play around with it tonight, the software, and see what I can get going. And Tim, if you're still there, if you could share your code plug with me, that would be great. Then we could take a look at it and know how to do it right. Okay, guys, thanks. 73 to all. This is KEHRI. We're out.
Seventy-threes, Brian, N-A-W-R-O, I will do that.
N-A-W-R-O from K-E-A-W-U-O.
Yes, sir, N-A-W-R-O here.
I was just curious if you were able to draw the map anywhere and how it went to you as my backup.
Well, I presume there was, and you explained it post-net. No, I couldn't. It didn't. I could not watch you do it. But then you said you switched over to the old log, so the new log didn't work, but you already know that, right?
Yeah. So I definitely threw you some curveballs on that one. I told you I'd be on the version B, and then I went over to the version. My battery's gonna die. I'm gonna have to switch batteries.
Yeah, no worries, John. Let's just reconvene tomorrow. I copied everything, and I did it the old school way. I had them all down on paper, And so I could have done it, but, you know, you had it well in hand. So, hey, we'll improve it. It'll work. We'll get it better. You know, it's why we test, right? NAWRO.
We must, but I'll talk to you tomorrow. KEAWURO.
Copy that. Tomorrow. NAWRO.
NAWRO. KEAWURO.
Go ahead, Dean.
I know we were talking about that GMRS test to kind of get a kind of a first contact for the kid. Would you be available for that sometime this weekend?
Sure thing. Be happy to do that. Yeah, just, you know, get a hold of me on any of the three, statewide one, this, or FBI, and then I can just turn on the ocean for that anytime. I was going to joke when you guys are talking. We can, you know, and his old man's got a GMRS call sign, so we could order pizza by GMRS. That'd be fun.
I wonder, actually, stand by. I'm going to ask him if that could actually be a thing.
Yeah, that would be a hoot. We'll take a Howie special with, you know, the Chicago deep dish or whatever. That'd be a hoot. It would probably work because it's pretty darn close.
So this might sound a little bit ridiculous, but I think we might actually try this. KE8LAX.
Well, you're going to have your radio there. One of my radios in the mobile is, I think, yeah, it's capable. So, hey, we got options. NAWRO, that'd be funny.
NAWRO with the new batteries. What are you guys talking about?
So, I got my GMRS and, I primarily got it for my son to kind of get the feel and see if he's interested in possibly getting his ticket. And Tim was going to do a test, kind of a first contact thing, and kind of walk him through the ropes a little bit with etiquette and how to speak. And Tim brought up maybe we should order pizza from Howie's on Monday for GMRS, since he always has his radio on him.
A great idea. That'll be fun. We'll have to get on the GMRS a little bit more. I haven't been on there in a while. But I didn't mean to put it in. It's just kind of like guys were talking about the command meeting, and I was curious what it was about. But I'll step up 73, guys.
73s, John. You're kind of struggling to get in there. I got a full copy on you. And, I think that will be kind of a hoot. And I'm kind of interested in trying it now.
Copy that. I suppose we should probably check the regs real quick just to see if it's considered a business transaction. I don't know. NAWRO. We'll talk tomorrow, Dean. 73.
KB8OOE.
Yeah, KB8OOE. KB8OOE, WA8LX.
going Ward. I'm on my way home from the Honeybee Club meeting there in Millington.
Yeah, I was listening to you when you were driving down to the meeting, and so, well, that's fascinating. I didn't know they had a Honeybee Club, so it makes sense. Get together with other guys and people and share ideas and share problems and all that stuff. So sounds good. And it looks like it's cold out there, my friend.
Yeah, I got our turnout gear in here, but I'm still wearing my sandals, but I got a pair of 35 below zero bottom boots in here and Carhartts and stuff, just in case something happens. I end up driving my Subarus instead of the truck.
Yeah, no problem on wearing those sandals as long as you're, going from one warm area to another. But I don't think I'd want to be walking 5 miles down the road in them.
Be bad enough wearing those great big giant boots I got. That'd be bad enough wearing those, but at least my feet be warm. I'd be worried about my thumb getting cold when I'm hitchhiking to get out of wherever I'm at.
Yeah, it is winter. My friend up in the UP there, I was talking to her this morning, and it was 5 below, and I said, well, you just keep that crap right up there. We were at a blustery 15 degrees down here. Well, I see it's, my thermometer says 1 degree now, so she didn't, she didn't listen to me. She sent it down.
Didn't even a call up there. You brought that on us.
Man, I tell you, I went up there for the week of Thanksgiving, and I knew that there was a possibility of snow up there. You know, it's that time of year. I did not expect to see over 30 inches drop in 24 hours. That was kind of a shock to my system.
I'm talking to my buddy over in Skaney. It's quite a bit east of the Keweenaw, but he's up on the side of a hill, and he's back about 7 miles out. He's got a Bombardier Snowcat, and he's got a two-stage snowblower on his tracked Bobcat that he clears out that road, and he does a long path and does a couple passes on it. But he's way out in the middle of nowhere, but he got a deal on that property. It's a big chunk of property. Built a house way back there. He's off-grid, but they got the same exact thing.
W8CMN, repeat.
But, it was pretty, as long as I was sitting at the breakfast table looking out at that 5-foot drift between the house and my truck. But then, at some point I decided to walk out and start shoveling it, and with the heart issues I've had, shoveling the wet, heavy snow is just not a good idea. And she didn't have a snowblower or anything like that, so luckily she has 3 grandsons with 4-wheel drive trucks that have blades on them, so they came and plowed us out and rescued us. But she said that one individual snowfall last week, was more snow accumulation than they had the last 2 years combined.
They didn't hardly get any, I think it was last year, they didn't hardly get any snow in the Keweenaw, almost all the way up to Calumet. But once you get up past that one spot in Calumet, once you get into town and then north, as soon as it gets cold out, that wind comes ripping across Superior, and it can be a sunny day. And it's ripping that water up off of the water, and it sucks it up, brings it right up the hill, and it's frozen. And if the wind's howling real good, you'll get a couple feet of snow, and it won't be a cloud in the sky.
KB8OEW8RD. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know how that works. And, well, her daughter owns a little bar in Presque Isle, Wisconsin, about 40 miles from where they live. And, you know, snowmobile season's a huge part of her business. And she said last year it just didn't exist. There just wasn't any snow.
WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
Hey, Beardo, Ollie. Diane's mother lives up there just south of Calumet and Boston Prospect, or I don't remember. Maybe that ain't the name of it, but it's some name, something like that. Anyways, it's the first almost town south of Calumet, just west of the beaten path, and it's a little hole-in-the-wall town, and they get hit pretty good there. But when you get up there just north of Calumet, like I said, they get like, over the course of the winter, they get 14, 15 feet of snow, and you have to shovel off parked vehicles, otherwise it'll crush the springs.
Well, I'll tell you another fun thing, I had a little ham radio station set up there, and I have about a 35-foot telescoping tripod that I'd set in her front yard, and I ran a 40-meter and a 20-meter inverted V off from that. And it was great. It was working. You know, I was having a blast up there talking to people and, you know, hitting POTA stations. It's just fun, you know, not being at your base and setting up somewhere temporary. Anyway, so down comes the snow, and then it's, you know, time for me to head back to Lapeer, and I'm thinking, dang it, I got to wander out in that 30-some inches of snow almost up to my waist. Well, it was past my waist, you know, because it was windy and blowing, and it was wet, heavy snow. Anyway, I got to walk out there and take all this antenna stuff down, you know, dig my coax out or pull it out of the snowbanks, and I don't know. It was a job. I was wore out by the time I got done doing that. So I'm coming up with a new plan with a vertical antenna, so there's just one point to go out there and pull antennas.
I was telling Diane, I says, you know, I hope you got that antenna up, and I knew you didn't before that snow hit, and I says, he's going to have a mess pick up once he gets rolling with it. And I'll tell you, they got these little antennas, Ward, that are pretty slick. You don't have to pull them up. They got a tripod, and you can either set them up as a dipole, and they got load coils in them, but they're a pretty good size antenna as it is. But you can go from easily to, up to 6 and all the way down to 40 with it. They're a neat little antenna, but you just fold everything out, screw everything together, and away you go.
Yeah, it's funny. I've got a set of hand sticks, and, man, I've got them for 80, 40, 20, 15, 10. I think I've got all those, and I don't know. I just I like my long wire inverted V, so that's what I went with, and instead of doing the ham sticks. But the vertical works real well, too, so I ordered that Chameleon 17-foot. It'll go up to 20 meters without a tuner or anything, so that'll be fun. That came in a couple days ago, and I've got a little tripod to set that on, and then I bought a Faraday cloth to put on the ground instead of putting wires out, so that'll be fun to experiment with and see how that does.
What do they call that, the magic carpet or something? See, I got these telescopers that'll go down to 20, and I'm building some coils for them, but that's what this thing is. It's got telescoping whips on it, and then it's got these rods that you screw in, too, and it'll do down to 20, but I don't think it'll do 30. It might even do 30, but for 40, you have to put these coils on there. It's got a little slider thing, kind of works like the screwdriver antenna, but it's a pretty good size antenna. Once you get this thing all twisted together and set on that tripod,
I run it in an upright V configuration, like old rabbit ears on a TV set work pretty good.
Yeah, I've seen that configuration. Never tried it on anything, but wondered how well that worked. Obviously, you know, we had it on a rabbit ear TV, so, you know, for reception it works well. I just didn't know how well it transmitted.
I'll tell you, I was shocked, and I recorded the settings when I set it up for all the bands, so I could immediately set it up for whatever band I wanted to use, and then you can rotate it. It's like bi-directional, so you can rotate it and null noise out to the sides.
Oh, that's a nice benefit. That's a real nice benefit. I have noticed that just at home this week, playing radio here, that boy, there's a difference. With this depends on what the weather's doing, on whether I want to use my vertical or my inverted V's here at home. You know, I was on 40 the other night, and boy, it seemed a little bit noisy, and I was on the vertical, so I flipped over to the inverted V, and it was nice and quiet. Huge difference.
Yeah, you'll find there's a little bit of noise on verticals as a general practice because they're 180. I mean, it's like a donut all around you, but the angle of radiation is low. They're great for DX, but you can listen in all the way around. Now, you got a dipole or inverted V, you got to rotate it. Otherwise, you got two nulls.
Yeah, and it's pretty hard to go out there, and, well, it's not real hard, but just not going to be fun to go out there and rotate my inverted V's. So, anyway, so I use the vertical most of the time because it's a five-band vertical. I can just, you know, I've got it tuned for all five bands, and I don't have to mess with it. If I get way down and decide to do FT8, let's see, on 20, I'll have to hit the tuner just to keep it low. I mean, I'm below 2, SWR of 2 on it, but I like it really, really low to keep the radio nice and cool.
I hear that, and if you're running real low power, it helps too, any little bit, especially if you're running QRP. But yeah, there's, I mean, a little less noise, but that's because of the nulls. You're getting less capture anyways. But for the most part, a vertical is a great antenna for DX, no matter where you're at. But was I going to say? Something else I was going to say about that. Oh, there's separation, though. I mean, it's not so much after a skip because it twists through the atmosphere at that point. But, like, if you're going from horizontal to vertical at UHF and VHF, well, there's between, like, 30 and 60 or something outrageous separation. So you lose that gain you get just because the plane for the magnetic and the electrostatic whatever is the other way. It's 90 out.
KB8OOEW8RD. Hey, what'd you do? Move up to Basser?
I've been staying up here. She's a nurse. I have my place in Columbiaville, and I had a my cousin was living there because I'm actually his guardian at this point. We're trying to get it out of the court system, but he just moved into an apartment last month, so I just got my place back all to myself again.
Yeah, okay, very good. Well, I heard you when you were coming down to the meeting. You said you just left Basser and you were coming down to the meeting in Millington. And I thought, wait a minute, he's coming from the wrong direction. But you know what? I'm happy for you, brother. That's a good thing.
Yeah, we both got our places paid off, and she's into the bees in a big way, too. And she's way above average intelligence. She's got her extra class ticket already.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Yeah, I noticed getting on and doing some photo the last couple of weeks that there is a huge increase in females on the radio now from what there was, you know, 35 or 40 years ago. And, you know, I'm happy to see that. I think it's a wonderful thing.
I agree more, Ward, that they're getting involved with it, the physics, you know. It's, you know, it was kind of one-sided there for a long time, and there's a lot of them, and they're not stupid. They're studying up, and they're passing this stuff. You'd be shocked at how many, I would say it's getting close to 50-50, at least the small clubs on the B stuff. There are a lot of them are getting interested in, what do they call it, entomology. They're taking college-level courses on it because they know these pollinators are in trouble.
Yeah, that's really cool. And, you know, a friend of mine in photography, in fact, I went and helped him teach at a school the other day. He had a studio over in my city for years. But anyway, I was talking to him, and he was telling me some issues that he's having, and I said, you know what you need, Rod? You need some raw honey. Raw honey is almost a miracle food, and it'll really help you out with a lot of different little things you're talking about. He says, well, I wonder where I can get some. I said, well, I can hook you up. I know a couple places. You came to mind right off the bat. He smiled. He said, so you don't really know that I raise bees. And I said, you know what? I had no idea. So that's just, you know, there's people doing this stuff that you don't even know they're doing it.
You can run a couple colonies and nobody would ever know you're what you're up to unless you come walking out with a bee bonnet on. Maybe 8 or 8.
Yeah, well, again, I just know him from photography, so that's always been our conversation. And then, you know, slipped off to this other stuff. And, you know, you just find out people, they have all kinds of interesting hobbies. Anyway, that's a good thing. Mike, I'm going to get off here. I need to head up and get a shower and relax a little while for a good bedtime here. You know, I'm getting old.
So every day of my age, and I've got a couple years to catch up to you, so. Yeah, I'm here idling in the driveway. I gotta go. Diane's neighbors are peeking out the window. I gotta go in there and let the dogs out, and then start getting ready for bed myself. It's late, and I get up awful early. So hey, nice hearing from you, Ward, and fire me up anytime. I monitor this quite a bit. With that, I'll say 7-3 and let you put the ribbon on it, and talk at you later. This is KEB-800E.
Hi, Mike. Always good to talk to you. I know we always enjoy a good conversation. So, 7-3, my friend. Take care, and I'm heading that way. WA-30.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
E8CCX.